Turn back to Mark chapter 6. The title of the message, Sending Forth the Twelve, or Sent of God. Sent of God to preach the gospel. Commissioned. These men were commissioned of Almighty God to go forth and to preach the gospel. God calls His sheep to Himself and He saves them. Then He teaches them, all thy children shall be taught of God. He does not leave us alone or untaught. The best education that you and I will ever receive is the one that God gives us. That's the best education. You'll learn something and it'll last for eternity. What I learned here, it'll last for a little while. It'll serve its purpose for a little while. But what I learn of God in Christ will last forever. That knowledge that we are given in Christ and of Christ will only grow. We will never outgrow it. My dad said one time, some years ago, he said, I have outlived my education. And I understand now what he's talking about. I understand you can outlive your education. You can do it. You know, now you did to set up a TV now and a VCR. I get Vicky to do it. It's gone past me. She does it. But you will never outlive your education, your knowledge in Christ. It'll grow, and it'll grow forever and ever and ever. We will never ever, I believe this, we will never ever reach the point where we know all that we need to know about God. That knowledge cannot be exhausted at all. So He teaches them, and it starts here in this life. And after that, He sends them forth. You know, you don't take these children here and send them out in the workforce, do we? Well, would that be lost could be? They don't know anything. They got to be taught. And before a man goes out and preaches the gospel, before he stands in a pulpit, and before he handles God's chief glory, and before he talks to people who's headed for eternity, I know this. I want somebody that knows what they're talking about. Not a novice. That's what Paul said. Not a novice. You don't need that. And here in Mark 6, he sends forth the 12 to preach first, to preach the gospel. Their first mission, their first purpose was to preach. And as they did that, they cast out devils and they would heal the sick. And this power was given to them to confirm their message. They didn't have the Word of God as we have it. It was given to them to confirm their message. And their message was this, repent and believe the gospel. As Frank was saying this morning, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him. That's their message. That's our message. It's the same message our Lord had. Our Lord said, repent and believe the gospel. The message our Lord preached and the message we preach is no different. It's the exact same message. He was commissioned. He's the messenger of what? The covenant. He was commissioned of God the Father to come into this world and reveal to us the covenant of grace. And He did it through the preaching of the gospel. And He's commissioned us to go out and preach the gospel. And the word and the message is repent. Change your mind about who God is, who Jesus Christ is, how God saves sinners, what sin is. If there's anything that people misunderstand, it's sin. Well, I just won't do this anymore. I just quit doing that. I'm straightened up. I live a pretty good life now. You're still wretched. Is that so? You're still a wretch. Paul, after the Lord saved him, in Romans, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. We still have that nature. We still have that sinful nature. I don't go around living like a wretch. You don't. Not if God saved you. You don't go around living like one, but you know you still have that nature of one. You know that. Verse 7. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. The call is from him. It's not from you. You know, the church does not call us to preach. God does. The church recognizes it. Now, the church will recognize the gifts and talents that God has given a man to stand in a pulpit and to preach and communicate the gospel. But the church doesn't call a man to preach. Now, we may call him as a pastor. But God's the one calls. He calls to Himself. The calls to Himself. Remember this. When He first called the disciples, He said to them, what? Follow me. He said, follow. That's the first thing He said. He called them to follow Him. It's first to Himself. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And after sitting at His feet and learning of Him and from Him, He sent them out. They were His messengers. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in verse 19, to wit, well, let me start up here in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that what we heard this morning? Isn't that the ministry of reconciliation? If there's any title that fit the Bible class this morning, it's reconciliation. David said, you guys come back. I'm not mad at you. I'm not going to shoot you. Just come back home. And that's the ministry we are given. The ministry I have standing in this pulpit is not standing up here shooting at people. It's one of reconciliation. Be you reconciled to God. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's our ministry. The gospel that we preach is the word of reconciliation. Be you reconciled to God. Come to Him and bow down to Him. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's exactly what I am. You stand here in the pulpit, Frank, Eric, Dale, you stand here in the pulpit and preach. You're ambassadors for Christ. How serious is that? How glorious is that? How much attention should we give? Really? How much attention should I give it in the study, preparing for this? How much attention should you give it listening to it? If an ambassador from another country came and stood here, would we listen? I guarantee we'd listen. We'd listen to what he had to say. Well, my soul. When men stand in this pulpit and preach the gospel, they are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us. Now, don't go out here looking for a voice somewhere, or don't expect to have some kind of a vision or something. No, here's exactly how God calls men, sinners. As though God did beseech you by us. God speaks through His preachers. He speaks through His ministers to the people. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And here's the very foundation of reconciliation. And this is, I'm getting completely off the message here, but for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's how we are reconciled, right there. That's it. That's how God can be just and justify me. That's how I can be reconciled to God. That's how a sinful man like me can be reconciled to such a holy God. Through the substitutionary work of Christ. Now, where was I at? And He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. They went out and they preached. They were His messengers. And the message they preached was Him. He's the message. That's why they had to learn of Him. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, the gospel is really not just a set of doctrines, is it? It's not a system. The gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the Son of God. We go forth preaching Him. That's what we do. And He sends them out by two. First of all, for encouragement, because I'm telling you. I can tell you from experience, after 7.5 years or so standing here, you need encouragement. There'll be times when you'll be as low can be. There'll just be times that it gets that way. Solomon said that when there's two in Ecclesiastes, when one falls, the other will lift him up. And there's more reward for their labor. So he sends them out by two. And that way they encourage each other. Talk to each other. And this shows harmony in the gospel. And it shows harmony among gospel ministers. You know, we're not in competition. If you want to kill a ministry, let envy get involved. If you want to kill it, you just let envy and jealousy get involved. That'll kill anything. That'll kill any relationship. I don't care if it's in the workplace. or hear. If you let envy get involved, it's dead. It's over with. But he sends them here two by two, which shows the harmony, and they can encourage one another. And in the Old Testament, it says, let everything be established before two or three witnesses. Everything. And then he gave them power over unclean spirits, which was to confirm their message. They didn't have the Word of God as we have it. But wherein lies our power over unclean spirits today? I thought about this as I was putting this together. I'll tell you wherein our power lies right now over unclean spirits, spiritual sickness. It's in the preaching of the gospel. In the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit cast out those unclean spirits. In the preaching of the gospel, He heals spiritual diseases. Have you ever, I have done this, I know this from my experience, have you ever been kind of a little out of sorts? And you sat and you heard a message preached, and it straightened you right up. It was like a good dose of medicine. It just straightened you right up. And you got over whatever it was bothering you. You just got over it. That's spiritual healing by the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. And then notice here, they were to trust God for their daily needs. And He commanded them that they should take nothing. You go somewhere and try to take nothing. He said, you don't take a dime. You don't take a penny. You don't take a penny with you. He commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey. And it was a journey. It's not just, they didn't just go down the block and back. They didn't go home and back. He didn't say, well, you go home and get ready and, you know, kiss your wife goodbye and tell them what you got. No, you're gone now. Save a staff only, a walking stick. You got a journey. You're going to need a walking stick. You're going to need a journey. You're going on a journey. And that journey doesn't end until we die. Does not end until we die. Don't take any scrip, no scrip, no bread, no money, no money in your purse. I went off this morning. First time I never do that. I went off and left my billfold home. I don't have a jingle on me. I mean, he said, now you're going to do a journey like that. I only live 3 miles from here. You're going to go on a journey, and I don't want you to have a dime in your pocket. I don't want you to carry bread. You're not even going to take 2 coats. All you're going to put on is a sandal, the lightest shoes you can put on. The lightest thing you can have is your shoes. They were to be, starting out, they were to be as their master. They had to learn to be dependent upon God. First, and I believe this is because I'll show you something here in a minute. First, they had to learn to trust God to provide for them. The Lord will provide. I think that's one of the concerns that in the ministry, as far as going out and preaching, going to taking a pastorate, that's one of the first concerns, even though we may not express it. I'm just going to be honest with you. How are we going to make it? Can we make it? And he says here, you're going to learn to trust me. You're going to learn to trust me just like I trust God. You're going to learn to trust me just like you're going to learn trust. You've got to learn to trust me. And they were to go out and just trust Him to provide. They were not to appear covetous. They were not to appear worldly. They were not to appear well-to-do like these TV preachers and live in mansions like they do. No, he said, you're going to go out there and you're going to be among the poor. And the poor people is not going to feel like they're being looked down on by you. You're going to walk in and you're going to be on the same level they're on. He's going to put his preachers on the same level the people that they're going to preach to. They were not to give the impression that following Christ will make you rich. It'll make you rich in heavenly things, but it may make you more poor in earthly things. It may do that. That's not why we follow Him. We do not follow Christ for what we can, the benefits that we can get out of Him in worldly things. Better home, better this, better that. Now, I'll tell you why we follow Him. First of all, He commands us to. And we need Him. We need His sinners. We need mercy. We need grace. We need His blood. We need His righteousness. We need Him. That's why we follow Him. We do not try to entice people to follow Christ for what they can get out of Him. And the preacher of the gospel is to trust the Lord to provide. And the way that He does this, the way the Lord provides, is through the people. Through His people. That's how He does it. The generosity of His sheep. And we'll see this here in a minute. But I want you to turn over to Luke 22. In verse 35, Luke 22. And He said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. Lord, we lack nothing. Then said He unto them, but now he that has a purse, let him take it. And likewise his scrip, and he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. I looked at that, and this is what I see. The first thing that He's teaching them is to trust Him. We have to learn to trust Him to provide. The Lord will provide. And then after that, you may have a better home. You may have a this or that. But the first thing we have to do is learn to trust Him. The Lord will provide. He said, did you lack anything? When I told you to go out without scrip and money and bread, were you hungry? No. Did you lack anything? Absolutely not. Not a thing. Took care of you, didn't I? I took care of you. We can live on what He provides. We can do that. And then He says here in verse 9, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. Sandals were they had shoes that they would wear, but then they had these sandals that were the lightest thing you could wear. I mean, it was just like a thin piece of leather on the bottom of your feet. Travel lightly. Don't get yourself cumbered down. And don't wear two coats. Don't weigh yourself down. The ministry alone has enough to weigh one down. There's enough in that to weigh you down. And don't baggage. I think that's the best word for it. You know, if we go on vacation, my goodness, we take half the closet. We can just go for a weekend. If I preach somewhere, I've got one little bag and she's got a luggage rack. That's because we're so used to baggage. And He says, you just take one coat. That's all you need. You don't need to weigh yourself down. You don't need to be carrying, be cumbered down with all this stuff. You just be able to go, be able to travel, be able to move, be able to go here, then go there, and just, you know, you're not having to take care of so much. Unload these burdens that you don't have to have, that you don't need. I'll provide. And He said unto them, in what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. God's people will take care of His ministers. I know that. I believe that. And especially as they grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if someone opens their home to you, He says, stay with them. Don't say, no, I don't want to put you out. No, I don't. No, He said, you stay with them. You partake of their generosity and be thankful. Be thankful. And verse 11 teaches us something real serious here on how we treat God's servants. He says, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Which to me seems evident that there are degrees of punishment. Is He going to give men according to their deserts, according to their works? And he's saying here, it's more tolerable in the day of judgment for the Sodomites than it's going to be for you or for them who sat under the gospel and rejected it and treated you like dirt. He says it's going to be more tolerable for those homosexuals than for you, for them who mistreat God's messenger because of the message. And that's the reason they mistreat the messenger. They hate the message. That's why the messenger is mistreated. They don't like the message. If God sends His man to preach the gospel of peace, the gospel of redemption, the gospel of God's glory to someone or a city, and they mistreat the messenger because of that message, it gets real serious. It gets real serious. You know, this, what's going on here this morning? What I'm doing, what other men are doing in preaching the gospel. This is the most serious thing that could ever, ever happen in our whole lives. It's sitting under the gospel. Hearing of Christ preached. We will either embrace Him or reject Him. And if we reject Him, we despise Him. He says it's more tolerable for them than it's going to be for you. You know, we come here on Sunday, and I know, I live in this flesh too. I live in this flesh. It's easy to sit in that pew, that chair, and just, your mind just wanders, and you have to try to rest your attention and bring it back, and you know, it's a fight, isn't it? It's a fight. To prepare yourself to worship, prepare yourself for this service. You know, we wrestle with, not against flesh and blood. You know, we're constantly wrestling with unseen evil. This is serious business. He said, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city who despised my messenger, my message. And I will take care of them in that day. Now that city may prosper unto the end. But there is an end. There is an end. And in judgment, all things will be settled. Everything will be settled. And here's their message. And they went out and preached. Now I want you to notice one thing. That is the first thing they did. They did not call for a service where they said, they did not advertise, we are going to cast out devils today and we're going to heal the sick. No, they didn't do that. They went out and the first thing they did was preach Christ and Him crucified. They preached the gospel. You know, most of the time when our Lord healed, when He cast out devils, He was in the synagogue teaching or preaching or someplace else teaching or preaching when it happened. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Change your mind about God. God's not who you thought He was. We automatically start out in this life with wrong thoughts of God. I mean, it's just automatic. We automatically start out with wrong thoughts of God. Of who He is. We don't understand His holiness. His hatred of sin. His nature. His very nature. His eternal being. We start out with wrong thoughts of God. And in the gospel, God has revealed Himself. If you want to know who God is, just learn the gospel. Sit and listen to the gospel, and you'll find out who He is. God Almighty has revealed Himself in the pages of this book. From Genesis to Revelation, God has revealed Himself in the Bible, the Word of God. We're not trying to guess who He is. This is who He is. And He is set forth clearly, plainly in the gospel. Believe that. Believe Him. And forget it. But the way you used to think of Him, forget it. Forget it. And change your mind about Jesus Christ. Well, you're the carpenter. Isn't that what they said? You're the carpenter. No, He's the Son of God. Who worked as a carpenter. But He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's not just a man who went about doing good. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the High Priest. Jesus Christ, His blood is the blood of atonement. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice. He's everything. He's everything we need. Change your mind about Him. He's the judge of the quick and the dead. He is the last person that everyone here, everyone throughout this world, everyone that's ever existed, everyone that ever will exist, He's the last person everyone's going to stand in front of. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. He said, repent, change your mind about Him. Change your mind about who He is. He's God. Change your mind about salvation, how God saves sinners. My effort and His effort put together? No. Nothing that I do adds anything to salvation in any way, shape, or form. He is my salvation. In everything that He is, everything that He did is my salvation. Change your mind about Him. Repent. That's what repentance is. It's a change of mind. We call it a change of heart. Now, it's a work of God. It's a work of God. Repentance, faith and repentance is a work of God. It's a gift of God. But now you are the one, and I'm the one that repents. I do repent. If God saved me, I do repent. I do bow down before Him and beg for His mercy and forgiveness. He said, repent and believe the gospel. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Right now we have His Word to confirm the message that we preach. I can tell you, say, turn over to Mark chapter 6. Or Luke chapter 22. Or back to Genesis. Or Exodus. Or Revelations. I have His Word to turn to. We have His Word to turn to. And believe. We believe. We take Him at His Word. Don't we? We open the Word of God and read it. You know, I believe this world was flooded at one time. Now, why do I believe that? That sounds absolutely absurd to this world, doesn't it? That God flooded this whole world at one time. And I believe that. And the reason I believe it, first of all, it's the work of God. But I believe it because He said so. I have in His Word that He flooded this earth one time. Now, if you don't believe that, you don't believe the gospel either. Because the same book speaks of both. We cannot pick one part of the Word of God and believe this and another part and don't believe that. It doesn't work that way. We believe God from Genesis to Revelation. Every word in it. I don't understand a lot of it. But when I read it, I believe it. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick, and He healed them. And let me tell you, that still happens today. Many devils are still being cast out when the gospel is preached. The word is preached. They're cast out. And are many still being healed today? Spiritually? How many times has He healed us of our spiritual sickness? How many times? You know, I feel healthy today, physically. I feel healthy. But I may have the flu tomorrow. One of you all may give me the flu. And I won't feel good tomorrow. But after some medicine, after some time, I'll feel good again. And that seems to be the way it is with us spiritually. We feel good today. We rejoice over the gospel. Then tomorrow we got an attitude. Then we hear the gospel. It corrects our attitude. And we're all right for a little while. That just seems to be the way it is. But He says, in closing, I'm going to close with the same thing Frank was closing with. Repent and believe the gospel. Come to Christ. The true healing, the true casting out of devils, what we need is Him to heal us of all our diseases and all our sicknesses spiritually.